Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That's what I'm talking about. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, hour number three of our radio extravaganza. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always interact with us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, at Zach Gelb. We got four games tonight in the Sweet 16. We'll give you a little preview of that coming up later. But first, I need a little NFL music, por favor. As we are getting set for the NFL season. We still got some time. We got April, we got May, we got June, we got July, we got preseason, which people will pretend to care about, but really nobody cares about in August. And then September rolls around. I'll save maybe this rant for a future Zach Gelb Show PSA. I have a big problem. I have a wedding the first weekend. For a close friend, the first weekend of the football season. It's a Saturday night wedding in Philadelphia. Very inconvenient.
Whoa, hold on. What? Oh, I mean, because you do the show on Sunday? Saturday night's fun. No weddings at all during the football season? Saturday night.
Week four, week five, fine. Not week one.
What's the difference?
Because
it's Saturday night. You got all day Sunday to do whatever.
Because when you have an out-of-town wedding, there is then a brunch Sunday. You got to travel back then as well. Come on. I don't want to be inconvenienced on the first football Sunday of the year. I'm a man's man.
You do not put
a wedding the first football Sunday of the year.
It's a Saturday. That's right. It's a Saturday.
College football. Just coming back. Second weekend of the college football season. Come on.
But usually week one of the NFL season is like week three or so of the college season. So you're into the college season, and it's probably an evening wedding. So you're still going to catch noon football, right? You're still going to catch big noon football and maybe even like another game or part of another game.
Problem.
And then while you're on the train or while you're driving back from Philadelphia, which is what, 2 hours? You can watch the game on your phone or on your tablet or on your computer.
No problem. First off, it's the main line.
You know what?
It's not really Philadelphia. It's the main line, and there's going to be a lot of traffic coming back Sunday. I'm not going to have fun, I think, at one of my close friends' weddings because maybe with the work schedule and things like that as well, I may have to leave early. Like, it's just become a problem when you have the first lining up of a regular season football week and a college football week. Can't do anything. You know what my dad told me once? I don't know why we've been talking about my father, potentially passing away. It's very morbid the last 2 days. My dad once told me, when his time comes, if it falls when he passes away, that the funeral is on a football Sunday, even if it's like week 7, week 8, don't have to be just week 1 of the playoffs. He said, Zach, I'm trusting you to make sure that you push the funeral back a day and have it occur on a Monday. All right? That's just, there's, football to me is a religion. And to have a big event on the first football Sunday, the night before the first football Sunday of the year when it's out of town, it's an inconvenience. I still love my friends. I'm still going to go. I'm very happy for their wedding. It's just with my schedule, it is creating a great inconvenience.
I just can't wait for your PSA because I'm going to PSA you right back.
That's fine.
I'm going to PSA your PSA.
It's okay. I'll be like Tony Reale on Around the Horn. I'll just be muting your microphone. I'll work in cahoots with Stu.
You know, it's ironic. I actually have the button to mute your mic. You don't have the button to mute my mic. So that'll be interesting.
Okay. You mute my mic. See how that goes for you. All right, Mike? We'll see how that works for you.
All right. So NFL over-unders. Let's move on. All right. So we're going to start with the team that may have had the most interesting offseason of all. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who added...
Here we go.
Russ Wilson and Justin Fields got rid of Kenny Pickett. Their over-under is 8.5. With that new quarterback and that defense and a potentially healthy TJ Watt, what are your thoughts?
8.5. Yeah, I got to go over, and here's why. Even though they could finish fourth in that division and finish in last place, the team that finished in last place last year were the Bengals. They were 9-8. And here's another thing. Mike Tomlin has never had a below 500 season. So outside of a tie now, with the 17 regular season games, you can't finish at 500. So I'm going to say bare minimum they're a 9-8 football team. So I will take the over, just barely, by the skin of my teeth. I will say the over for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here we go.
All right, now this team gets shaded left and right, mostly because of the postseason.
I thought we had to dump that for a second. I thought you said they got something on left and right.
Shaded, S-H-A-D-E-D. But that's usually in the postseason. Regular season... The Dallas Cowboys over-under is 10.5. Where are you going?
So, by the way, Jameson in Milwaukee, the cookie man, who also opened up a pizza parlor, he tweeted me during the break. He said, the most likable athlete, as from our most likable athlete conversation, even though I hate him, is my quarterback, Dak Prescott. He is always so nice, gracious, and he eats the blame, even though it's not his fault.
He's very likable.
All the time.
He's very likable.
I have him
as an honorable mention.
No, he is likable.
And he honestly, if he wins a Super Bowl, him and Mahomes are like right there as far as face of the NFL. If he wins a title, he has to win a title. But quarterback of the Cowboys,
I can't go
his personality, his endorsements, his off-field work, and just the way he is, just a good guy. Dak Prescott is very likable.
The faces of the NFL for the foreseeable future moving forward, Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a chase for the third spot.
If Dak wins a Super Bowl, I think that changes.
Yeah, and guess what? If
if you had a third arm, then you'd be able to,
Whoa, this is a family-friendly show here. We don't need any of your
craziness. It's so
funny. Craziness.
When I am being dirty, you don't get it. When I'm not being dirty, your mind jumps into the gutter.
Like yesterday,
I'm talking about
cutting
holes in a popcorn thing, which is like the dirtiest thing that you could think of, and your mind couldn't even go there.
All I was going to say.
And now I was just making an innocuous statement about having a third arm, and your mind went to a place that it should not have.
What I was going to say, and if I was Jay-Z, I'd be dating or be marrying Beyonce. But I'm not Jay-Z. So the Cowboys winning a Super Bowl?
I didn't say the Cowboys. I said Dak.
Dak winning a Super Bowl. And where? The XFL?
I mean, you gave five good teams yesterday.
Yeah, come on. The Cowboys over under? I'm going under. A lot of drama in Jerry's world. Last few years, they've won 12 games. They regress a little bit. That hook, that half point is big. That half game is big. I could see them going 9-8 this year. I could see them going 10-7. So I'm going under for the Cowboys.
The Falcons added Kirk Cousins to that awesome offense. They're 9.5 over under.
Over 10-7. They win the division. And that's a dangerous football team. As long as Kirk Cousins stays healthy, I'm starting to like Raheem Morris a little bit more. Second opportunity. They got a good young secondary as well. And then offensively, they'll use Bijan Robinson correctly. They have Drake London. 10-7, maybe even 11 wins. They're winning that division in the NFC South. Give me the over on the Dirty Birds.
All right, now they've gotten rid of a lot of their offensive weapons, but they do have Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. How about the Chargers at 8.5?
See, this is a sucker line. You want to know why this is a sucker line? Because I love Harbaugh, and I'm a fan of Herbert. So you would think just how narrow-minded we are with the media. Oh, quarterback, coach, all righty. Yeah, they'll improve over. I think they're going to be just below 8.5 wins. They'll be like an 8-win football team this year. But I think they're going to be 8-9. Man, that roster has lost a lot. Mike Williams no longer there. Keenan Allen no longer there. Their defense is always banged up with Mack and Bosa and Derwin James too. Now, this could change if they go draft like Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze with the 5th overall pick, and maybe I'm more optimistic. But right now, today, with that roster is currently constructed, I'm taking the under for the Chargers of 8.5 points.
All right, now we all three of us said Jordan Love. We had the most confidence in another quarterback's up for extension. So we all love Jordan Love and the Packers, but they're at 10.5 over under.
Ooh. It's a good one. Because I was optimistic on the Packers last season, and I think they're going to be better this season, but they play in a tough division. Really tough division. I'm going to say it's another slight under for me, where they should still be a playoff team, but I think this is going to be a 10-7 football team. I think they are just under 10.5.
That's a good one. Okay, how about this team? We know Sean Payton probably can coach,
I don't even need to see the number. Whatever the number is, I'll take the under.
5.5? You going under?
Oh, is that the number?
Yeah.
Under.
You're going under 5.5.
Yeah.
So how many wins for the Broncos?
3, 4? Maybe 5? This team is not winning 6 games. This is a tank job if I've ever seen one. Players don't tank. Usually I say coaches don't tank. But Sean Payton runs that organization. They're tanking this year. This is a punt of a season. I am taking the under on the Broncos.
All right, now the first overall pick, Caleb Williams going to the Bears. They've added some talent on the offensive side. 8.5 is the number for Chicago.
Oh,
that's a tough division, too. Especially if the Vikings get a quarterback.
But, you know, I'll go under. But they got a lot of talent, man. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. Last year, how many games did the I think they won 7, I want to say. Let me see. I have it right here. Yeah, they won 7 last year. You know what? 180. Switch. Over. I'm taking the over. The half game concerns me. But I could see that team. They got a last place schedule, too. I know they had the same record as the Vikings, but technically the Bears finished 4th. In that division because of the tiebreakers. That NFC North is shaping up to be a good division. We'll see who the Vikings quarterback is at the end of the draft. But the Packers are going to be a force for a while. The Lions are a force for a while. And it seems like the Bears are starting to move in the right direction. Yeah, you know what? Bears 9-8 finished 3rd place in year 1 of the Caleb Williams era in Chicago. Give me the over.
All right, now the Arizona Cardinals were 4-13 last year, but they get Kyler Murray back. 6.5 is the number in Arizona.
I'm taking the over because I think they're going to keep the pick at 4, and I think they're going to get an explosive playmaker for Kyler Murray. That team played for Mr. Boop, 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 last year in Jonathan Gannon, and I was surprised that they were even able to win 4 or 5 games last year with how just decrepit that roster was. That team has some toughness. I think a lot of people will be on that under, so therefore I will take the over.
All right, and the last one, your boys, the Patriots, with their potentially new quarterback and Gerard Mayo. First time not seeing Bill Belichick on the sideline in, 25 years?
Yeah, 2000.
So the Patriots are worse than the Broncos on this list. 4.5
is their number. Do they have the lowest over-under?
I think they're tied with the Panthers at 4.5.
How'd they get better? Like, what moves did the Patriots make? They brought in K.J. Osborne. Outside of that, they re-signed, like, everyone that they had on the team last year.
They'll have a new quarterback, probably.
Yeah, but are they going to play that quarterback? Because even though, hey, did you see Jaden Daniels' elbow the other day? Did you see that elbow? I'm concerned. Washington, you should be concerned. Don't take him. Let him fall to 3. That elbow does not look good. Washington. You guys make a lot of dumb decisions. You have a new owner in here in Josh Harris. Make don't make any more dumb decisions. You cannot draft Jaden Daniels with that elbow. You can't. Take Drake May. Come on. May you please take May. You cannot take Daniels. That's my concern, though. I think Jaden Daniels will be the second pick in the draft. So Caleb Williams is going to be the first pick. And therefore, that leaves me with what? Drake May? Drake May shouldn't be playing year one if the Patriots take him at three. If it's McCarthy, oh, the Patriots have nothing. You know, they brought back the offensive lineman from Michigan, Owenu. He's good. But what, like Kendrick Bourne, I love him. Great interview. I think he's our best receiver right now. This team, they have a fine defense. How much was it? Was Belichick, though? Now, Jerod Mayo was on that staff last year. Now he's the head coach. But offensively, this is a rancid team. It really is. Offensively, they are a rancid unit. It is ugly. I'll take the under. Are you surprised? Why are you surprised by that? I saw that your eyes like almost pop out of your head when I said the under of 4.5. I am the most fair fan that there is. When my team is supposed to suck, I'll tell you they are the worst. But when my team is great like they were for 20 years, I'll also tell you they're great. But because I told people my team was great for 20 years, people are like, oh, you're a homer. This team stinks. Like, can you even name five Patriots? Like, seriously.
Kendrick Bourne, that's my boy.
Seriously, but outside of that, like, I could obviously name five Patriots. But they don't got names. They don't got names. They don't got dudes. They don't got dogs on this team. This is a brutal football team. They won four last year.
Yeah, and they're probably
and they had Belichick
getting,
still.
They're probably getting a good quarterback.
By the way, maybe. But if they don't get Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams, there's a good chance that Jacoby Brissett is starting for half the season. Jacoby Brissett, when he starts on the, I don't know, the Browns is fine because they have talent. Even the Commanders, at least you have Terry McLaurin. What do the Patriots have? Well, they have Ladd McConkey. I'm fine with Ladd McConkey in the second round. But this team, they're brutal. Hunter Henry resigns. It's like, oh, let's throw a fiesta. That's how bad this team is. This is a bad football team. And you know what? I was thinking about this yesterday. Next time I see Ray Martell in this building, I'm going to have to punch Ray Martell in the face. Because Ray is one of the more loyal fans I've ever met. Ray Martell has been a season ticket holder forever. He was a Patriot fan when no one was a Patriot fan and the team sucked. So Ray Martell is a great fan. But he thought this team could be something last year when it was clear they weren't. And I told him when he was celebrating the win against the Steelers at the end of the year. I told him when he was celebrating the win against the Broncos at the end of the year. It's a bad job, out of right. And look, now it could cost them their next franchise quarterback. Because they had the same record as the Commanders. And even though the Patriots lost to the Commanders this past year, we didn't get the second overall pick. I'd much rather have the second overall pick now and have the ability to mess up the pick rather than have to hope that the Commanders pass up on Jaden Daniels and then the Pats get stuck with like Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. All right? People should feel bad for me. You know, the last 3 years has been tough as a football fan. Get blown out against the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. Then we just miss out in the postseason and this year.
Whew, I think Stu and I are about ready to fight you.
Why? You're a Chiefs fan. What are you talking about? You're in the
yeah,
the
I've had 1 year of success, but I had, you know, 42 years of misery and heartache. And Stu,
you got to work on this shtick.
Started there.
You got to work on this shtick because you have a lot of holes in this offseason of this shtick that you're a Chiefs fan and you gave up on the Jets. Stu, I have sympathy for. Stu's football team, outside of the 1 year they went to the Super Bowl, when how old were you, Stu? Against the Bucks when...
Oh, his 03, so I was 7.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, not like you have a... Like you remember it, I'm sure, but it's not like you have a great memory
I
of
do.
It.
I took off from school the next day. I was so upset.
Really? You were crying?
Yeah. I was very upset. 7-year-old Stu was very upset about the Raiders not winning that Super
Man,
Bowl.
Man, when the Patriots lost the two Super Bowls against the Giants, I had kids lining up waiting for me to walk into school. I had a teacher, the second Super Bowl, put the Mario Manningham catch in like the fifth slide of a PowerPoint. I got bullied by the teacher. James Desmond, I'll never forget his name.
Deservedly so.
Nice teacher. But I got bullied. Oh, people were just waiting for me. And you know who it was? It wasn't even the Giant fans. It was those Rat Jet fans. Because they're a bunch of losers. They never won anything. So the most winning they ever did was seeing the Patriots go down.
God, all those Jet fans. Bunch of losers.
Yeah. But no, you've had some holes in your Chiefs argument. The other day with Braden Fisk saying, oh, I hope you get drafted by my Jets. And then today, oh, I'm about to punch you in the face when you're supposedly a Chiefs fan.
No, I mean, you know, whatever. Listen, 42 years doesn't overtake one great, amazing championship year. But I will say this. Stu is very mild-mannered. Stu is very quiet. Stu is very nice and smiles and always in a good, jovial mood. I bet you when Stu's watching sports and his team is playing poorly, and I've seen it on Twitter, because Stu is very angry on Twitter.
Yeah, too much soccer, though.
I can see Stu throwing things against the wall. I can see Stu being an angry, visceral...
He's right. He's 100% right.
Absolutely, yeah. Emotionally devastating human being when he's watching
so
sports.
So you're an angry fellow when you watch sports?
I get very angry when my team... I mean, so the Raiders, it's weird because the Raiders, I'm just used to it by now.
Yeah.
But when there's like expectations with one of my teams, like the Lakers or the Yankees, I...
So I feel like... Because you live with your girlfriend.
Yes.
I feel like when your girlfriend is around, you're probably a little bit sweeter, I would say.
I try.
But if she's like away, girls trip for the weekend, and Stu's sitting around with all those candies that he has in his apartment and all those popcorn and stuff like that, that's where I think you get a hole in the wall when the girlfriend's away.
Yeah. I mean, there's no holes in the wall, but there's stuff. I'm yelling. I'm screaming. I'm in a very bad mood. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Can we get like a Stu cam? Can we get like...
Oh, that would be amazing.
When you're freaking out at one point this year, when the Raiders just rip your heart out again.
When?
Not if, when. Can we just get a little instant reaction video?
Sure. I think we could do that. Okay. Yeah.
I want to see the angry side of Stu. Because Stu, when he's on the air, with how bad his sports teams have been, he's just like a beaten down man. But I want to see the instant reaction. I want to see the pain. I want to see the stuff, the suffering of Stu Kovacs. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming on back. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I want to play you some audio from the new head football coach of the Carolina Panthers, Dave Canales. He is very confident in the 2024 Carolina Panthers. Listen up.
I really just think people are going to be really surprised about the NFC South this year and the level of football that comes out of it.
Can you compete for the division crown, or is this a longer runway?
I think we're going to be competitive for the division this year. And what I'm saying is, if we play good football, if we can get the football right like we believe we can, and we can take care of the football, we'll be in the hunt. We'll be in every single game, which will give us an opportunity to be in the hunt for the division at the end.
If you're new to this show, I can't stand the owner of the Carolina Panthers and David Tepper. But I'm fair. I don't believe the Panthers are contending this year for the NFC South crown. But I will say, I'm a fan of Dave Canales. For how difficult of an opening that job was, and you knew that you were not going to get these great candidates, I think they did a good job with the tough guidelines and circumstances they had to deal with in the hire of Dave Canales. Dave Canales did a good job with Geno Smith. Dave Canales has done a good job with Baker Mayfield. And now he has to save the career of Bryce Young. And this offseason, the new GM, Morgan, who was with the old regime and now got promoted to the GM spot, they beefed up that offensive line. They made a trade for Deontay Johnson, so you get a little bit more talent around Bryce Young. We'll see what they do in the draft. They don't have a first-round pick because of the aftermath of the Bryce Young trade. But I do think that this Panthers team, you'll see an improvement from Bryce Young, bare minimum, on the field. But to go from a 2-win team to even if 8-9 wins the NFC South, like, let's go as bad as possible, I don't see this being an 8-win football team. There's the hot, scorching take of the day. But can they be a 5-win football team? Can they be a 6-win football team? If Canales can work his magic with Bryce Young, then yeah, they can be. But they just lost Burns too. Like, you got to say that as a coach, because you're trying to get guys to buy in on your culture when there was such a negative culture in place this past year. because of all the dysfunction from the owner and the impatience from the owner and how much of last year they were just a clown show. So you got to talk a big game. You got to talk positively. But no, I do not expect the Panthers to go from worst to first. You know, out of all the teams in the NFL, who's most likely to go worst to first from a year ago? Now, the obvious answer are the Bengals. The Bengals were 9-8 with Joe Burrow hurt for basically half the season. So the Bengals going from worst to first is expected. But if I take the Bengals out of the equation, you got the Patriots, who are a 4-win football team a year ago. You had Tennessee, who's a 6-win football team a year ago. The Chargers, a 5-win football team. The Commanders, a 4-win football team. The Bears, a 7-win football team. The Panthers, a 2-win football team. And the Cardinals, a 4-win football team. It's not the Cardinals, because the Niners, just for starters, there's no way the Cardinals can move past the Niners. It's not going to be the Panthers, because the Falcons are going to win that division at 10-7. I can't say, even though I was just took the Bears over of 8.5 wins and I said they'll get to 9-8, I can't pick the Bears because I can't see the Bears jumping. You know, I can see them jumping the Vikings. I can't see them jumping Green Bay Android. The Chargers, they're not jumping past the Chiefs. The Patriots, no shot. You know who I'm between? It's really between Tennessee and it's the Commanders. Now, Tennessee would be based off Will Levis being that dude. But they quietly had a good offseason. You get Tony Pollard. You traded for Legarius Sneed. You go on out and you bring in Calvin Ridley. You have DeAndre Hopkins there. You know, that's not a bad team. But I just trust C.J. Stroud more. So I can't see you going from worst to first. You know what? It would be the Commanders. It would be kind of like a C.J. Stroud factor where it's been negative for so long, a terrible culture for so long. You're going out, you get a guy like Jaden Daniels, and you have a good receiver there in Terry McLaurin, and they're able to put it together. And it's more so a lack of trust in the Cowboys. And even though I think the Eagles end up winning that division, I look at Philadelphia, yeah, they're loaded with talent. A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert. You go on and on and on and on, but how much is it going to be a locker room issue in Philadelphia? So I don't love any of these answers. Obviously, the Bengals are the answer that you love, but if you take the Bengals out of the mix, I would say the best chance going from worst to first would be the Commanders for this upcoming football season. But if it's not the Commanders, then I would say it's Tennessee. It's a difficult one to predict, but it seems like it happens every year where there's a team that was dreadful that finds a way to prop up and then go make the playoffs. Like, look, the Texans were picking second in the draft a year ago, and they ended up winning the division their first year with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans.
I think typically when you do these worst of first, it's a team that like has an unexpected quarterback infusion like the Texans. So if you look at those teams, the Patriots could be one of them.
No shot.
The Commanders, the Bears. For me, I'm going to go with Canales. Right? I look at that division. I have no faith in the Saints. The Buccaneers, I think, will be pretty good. I have the Buccaneers winning the division, but I don't have a lot of faith in them.
Back-to-back years, you think they're winning the division without Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Baker enough. And here's the thing about the Falcons. Yeah, they have offensive talent. Their defense is okay. But, like, Kirk Cousins is 35 years old. He tore his Achilles in week 7, week 8. How healthy is he going to be? I don't trust that even if he's healthy, he's going to be that great anyway in a brand new system. I see the Panthers. Bryce Young had an awful year. Terrible year.
Yeah, it's dreadful. One of the worst rookie years you've ever seen.
But he's a former number one overall pick a year ago.
It's weird to say he's a former number one overall pick.
At the end of the day, if Bryce Young could be half of what he's supposed to be, you know, if he lives up to what he's supposed to be.
But you know what? It's really not an endorsement on the Panthers. It's more so an endorsement on your lack of trust with the rest of the division.
Right, because I was thinking also, same as you, the Titans. But, like, I have faith in the Texans, and I think the Jaguars are going to bounce back.
And you know what? Don't forget about the Colts.
And the Colts, yeah. Without Gardner.
Well, not only that, but their coach, Shane Steichen, if he just said, I don't know, I'm going to put Jonathan Taylor on the field at the end of the game last year, they probably win that game and they make the playoffs. And that was without their guy. And Anthony Richardson early on was looking like he was that dynamic, explosive quarterback. So I don't think, as I like Tennessee, out of those teams that we just talked about offseason-wise, I think the teams that were in the bottom, Tennessee had the best offseason. But it's not going to be able to translate to jumping three teams inside that division. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll end the show out in style with the news brief. We'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Also give you four picks tonight in the Sweet 16. Update time first, though. Let's get to the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.